So tonight, our guest speaker is Daphne. Daphne stands for Dose Adjustment for Normal Eating. It evolved from the education program and insulin regime developed in Germany by Michael Berger in the 1980s. And teams from Northumbria, Sheffield, and King's visited Germany together in the late 1990s before bringing the program back to the UK and adapting it for the UK population. Daphne believes all adults with type 1 diabetes should have access to high quality training and the use of insulin so that they can live their life with as few restrictions as possible and still achieve glucose results within healthy targets to reduce the risk of long-term diabetes complications. There are 108 Daphne centres around the UK, Republic of Ireland and Crown dependencies, and it also has been established in Australia as AusDaphne. Liesl is a registered nurse and became a diabetes specialist nurse in 1999, a Daphne educator in 2005. And tonight she joins us, and we will be having a great discussion about her role as a national diabetes quality assessor that she joined in 2017. Plus, we'll be talking about Daphne and the program itself, talking to Stu as a Daphne graduate, and there's lots of questions and scenario questions that we'll go through tonight. And also want your input. So please request the microphone, please hashtag diabetes chat, and it's your opportunity tonight to talk to Daphne. So without further ado, welcome along, Daphne.
Thanks very much. It's lovely to be here. I've been looking forward to this for quite a long time now, ever since you invited me. So I'm delighted to join all of you.
Thank you so much. It's been a long project the last couple of months, hasn't it? It's been really nice arranging tonight, and it's great to have you here.
Well, thank you for inviting us. It's great.
Brilliant stuff. Can I just ask, just for sound quality, have you got the recording in the background? Because I can hear some background interference as well.
I'm
Sorry.
not.
It sounds like Flipper to me.
Flipper? What's Flipper?
One of
I've
the.
got my mic turned off.
Maybe if it was showing as still active here.
If all unactive speakers just mute their microphone for now, if you can, guys. And then if you have any questions, please just request by putting your hand up and we can bring you forward. That will just make sure that all the quality sounds great from everyone's angle, if that's all right. So what we're going to do is we've got some questions, guys, tonight. We're going to introduce Daphne, find out a little bit about it, and then we've got some questions that we want to pose to Daphne and find out a little bit more about Daphne itself. So Tony, I'm going to head over to you, and you're going to head up our first section of the evening.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. So just going to start with some introductions. Now, I think it'd be a bit of a coincidence if your name was also Daphne. So I wonder if you could perhaps introduce yourself and maybe give a little bit of a backstory as to sort of who you are and what led you up to working for Daphne.
Yeah, thanks, Tony. Wouldn't it be brilliant if it was? But no, my name's Liesl. I'm named after a character in The Sound of Music that my mum and dad went to watch at the pictures when they were expecting me. So that's who I am. I qualified as a registered general nurse in 1990, and I was always scared of diabetes when I worked on the wards. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand the treatments. Insulin, I thought, was terrifying. So when I was then in charge of the wards, I would always make sure that my colleagues looked after the people with diabetes and not me. And then a ward sister I had said, "I want you to be the link nurse for diabetes." And I was like a petulant teenager, I think. And I just thought, oh God, I can't imagine anything worse. And I said, "What do I have to do?" And she said, "Well, once a month, you come in on an early, and then at 12 o'clock, you go to the diabetes centre, they give you lunch, and you have a meeting in the afternoon." And I thought, that'll do for me. Excellent. So off I went to be a link nurse with no altruistic aims whatsoever, just an excuse to have a lazy afternoon on an early shift. And then when I got there, I realised I had so little knowledge that I was dangerous, and that was quite frightening. But I also realised that as frightening as it was for me, it must be even worse for people with diabetes being looked after by me, knowing that I was utterly clueless. So I then went on a post-registration course about diabetes care and then thought I knew everything. I met an amazing diabetes specialist nurse called Jan Armand, who inspired me to apply to become a DSN. And I came home after my first day as a DSN and burst into tears and said to my husband, why on earth did I think I could do this job? I'm never, ever going to know enough. It's just huge. And then a new consultant joined us from King's, who'd worked with Professor Stephanie Amiel when she was setting up Daphne. And he said, we have got to do this. We have got to do this. And I thought, I don't know. Everyone's going to eat pizza and chocolate cake and people will put weight on. And I suppose if it doesn't work, we don't have to carry on. And I went off to the Queen's Medical Centre in Nottingham for a week to observe a Daphne course. And it absolutely blew my mind. So even though I was looking for a job outside diabetes in 2005, the Daphne course kept me in diabetes. And it lit a spark, a smouldering passion for diabetes education that had just been there in the background without an outlet. And so that's how I became a Daphne educator, really. Started out with very ignoble plans for a nice, easy afternoon and ended up shaping my entire career.
Wow, that is absolutely amazing. What a fascinating story. I think it's quite interesting that I feel like you've almost run the whole range of emotions that someone being diagnosed with diabetes would also feel through the course of your career, with, you know, feeling a bit sort of scared and then reluctant and overwhelmed. Just, you've covered pretty much everything there.
Yeah, and I still think I will never know enough. I think that's that I'm always striving. We always are striving, as certainly as a Daphne team, to make sure that we're up to date, that we keep passing that information on. Because I think the more you learn, the more you realise you don't know and you have to push further.
Yeah, absolutely. So what does your day-to-day role look like? What does that actually look like? What are the sort of big challenges you face?
I think the biggest challenge that we faced in the last few years was COVID, because Daphne education courses for people with type 1 diabetes were always run as face-to-face courses. And so when COVID hit, everything just stopped. So what was locked down was the 24th of March. And myself and my colleague, Sally Woolgar, who's a diabetes specialist dietitian, and our Daphne administrator team realised that we had to think on our feet. So between March and July, we basically converted the Daphne course for participants into an online version with weekly group video support calls on Microsoft Teams. And we rolled that out, I think, on about the 20th of July. And that was the biggest challenge, was the NHS was not used to remote working in that regard. We were all working from home. We weren't seeing each other face to face. We were doing all of this online. So that was an enormous challenge. The other challenges we faced are about making sure people have access to Daphne. It's still a bit of a postcode lottery. Although we believe passionately in it, it costs money to deliver a Daphne course. The NHS is always struggling with budgets and things. And each area has an organisation, I think they're integrated care boards now, who decide what to spend the money on and how to spend it. And of course, we always want them to spend it on Daphne, but they may spend it on something else. They may not have type 1 diabetes at the top of their priority list. It might be something else. And so we are always trying to raise awareness and make sure we can get as many people access to a Daphne course who want it.
Yeah, absolutely. So why exactly is it that you want to help people with diabetes? Of what got you into that? What sort of got you fascinated about diabetes? And what is it that makes you passionate about diabetes education?
Well, we've got Stu here today, and I'm really excited to have Stu on the call with me today, because Stu is one of my Daphne graduates. And I'll just have to tell you a story when I was, Stu, I hope you don't mind, but when you were on your Daphne course with me, and Liz was delivering the exercise session, and I was sitting next to Stu, and he just kept saying ka-ching, ka-ching, and I said, what is all this ka-ching stuff? And he said, the penny's dropping, I just know how to go running again. And that, it's those moments, it's hearing somebody's confidence increase in their voice. It's watching increasing ease and confidence with making changes to their insulin without fear, without thinking that they're taking a stab in the dark. And when you see that professionally, that's quite intoxicating, and it just pushes you to want to do more.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so just one last question before we sort of move on from this section. What would you like to do in the future, sort of further in diabetes education and employment?
I guess the ultimate aim is that I'm no longer required because there'll be a cure for type 1 diabetes. My niece has type 1 diabetes, and I would love it one day if she is saying to her children, gosh, it's so old-fashioned. You know, years ago, your great auntie Liesl used to teach people how to manage diabetes. Isn't that funny? That's what I'm hoping, ultimately. But whether that happens before I retire, I've no idea. But I would like people who want structured education to have access to it when they need it and when they're ready for it, and without having to fight for it. It would be great if they could just ring their local diabetes service and say, I'd like to do a Daphne course. I've got time off work on such and such a date. Can you fit me in, please? We would like, as Daphne, we'd like everyone to have access who wants it. We want to continue to deliver cost-effective training to Daphne doctors, Daphne consultants, diabetes specialist nurses, diabetes specialist dietitians. You know, it's spread the reach of Daphne, make it available for as many people who want it, give high quality, cost-effective training to healthcare professionals, and yeah, global domination, I guess.
Global domination, I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Some lofty ambitions there, but love it. We've got everything. World domination to type 1 cure. This is exactly what we're all looking for.
Well, I hope so. I'll keep my fingers crossed.
So the next section of our chat today, we're going to be talking and exploring a little bit further about what exactly Daphne is, and also a little bit about your stories with Stu, your Daphne graduate.
Yeah, I'm here. So,
hi, Stu.
Hi, Liesl.
It's so nice to be with you again, and looking forward to our next lunch out with your group. So, Stu, can you just share with everybody a little bit about your experience of doing the Daphne course, please?
Well, sure. I was listening in earlier on, and somebody said that one of, if not the most important part of doing Daphne was to sit in the same room as other type 1 diabetics and talk about type 1 diabetes. And for me, that really, really was one of the biggest things. And Liesl just mentioned that I did Daphne with Liesl as one of my educators in 2007. And five of that group of us still meet regularly every two or three months for lunch. And maybe that illustrates just how big the impact of talking to other diabetics about sharing your levels. When day one, the idea that I would share my blood glucose diary with other people who are going to be far better controlled than I am was really scary. But by the end of the we did a 1 week course all face to face. By the end of the week, we were spending way more time than we should have been looking at each other's blood glucose diaries, because it was helping us to puzzle out what was helping, what was making the difference for us. So that was the big thing for me. And obviously the structured education, I learned a lot. I think a lot of us thought we knew about carb counting, and you kind of muddle through, I guess, don't you? But I was finding that I was yo-yoing and I was hypo a lot of the time. And the Daphne course just helped me to learn how to avoid all of that and to get some control back into it all. And I still use Daphne, you know, several times a day.
Thank you, Stu. That's really good to hear. The other thing that I wanted to ask you is, what was the first thing you did with your wife Tess when you finished your Daphne course?
Well, I don't, it's a while since I did the Daphne course, but when we did the course, there were a couple of sessions that were open to partners. And so my wife Tess came along to those. And before I was diagnosed in my 40s. Again, somebody else was saying that your 40s is a fairly common time for adults to be diagnosed. I was diagnosed in my 40s. And prior to that, Tess's big deal was going out for Indian food. And once I'd been diagnosed, we just couldn't do it. It was just sending my levels all over the shop. So Tess came along to the two sessions during the week that I did the course and heard lots of good things. And so when I finished on the Friday, I got home to find that she'd booked a table at the local Indian. And so off we went to the Indian. And bless her, she'd packed the scales and all the carb counting books. And it took us about 3 hours to have an Indian meal. But by crikey, we enjoyed it. And it was really good fun.
I love that story, and I've used.
I've got to ask how your sugars were after said Indian and carb counting.
well, they weren't as disastrous as some of the episodes that I'd had before Daphne. They were a bit high, but not outrageously high. Because
that's always good to hear.
Yeah. I wouldn't be happy with those levels now, but at the time, well, just being I don't know how others find it, but. Becoming diabetic in my 40s kind of had a huge impact on my family, and they all had to kind of manage themselves around my diabetes. So it was really nice in a way to give something back to the family. I thought it was a really great idea. I think we don't go out for food quite so much these days anyway, because we're retired and you know about this cost of living crisis business. I wouldn't be as happy, I think, with those kind of levels these days. I want to be much, much nearer target. But yeah, hey, it was good. And I think that's the other thing that Daphne did for me was and has continued is to make me much more relaxed about going out of target. Because one of the other key things that Daphne gave me was the knowledge to be able to correct what was going on, so correct it without yo-yoing. I can, most of the time, not all of the time, but if I find myself out of target, I know how to correct. I can correct it and bring myself back in. It's about control, really, for me.
Thanks, Jude. So if you were going to talk to somebody about Daphne and they weren't sure, I know I heard some people earlier in the chat saying that, sort of querying whether it's appropriate if you've already had diabetes for 5 years or 10 years or longer, what would you say to somebody who was thinking about it but wasn't really sure that it would be for them?
I was 7 years in, 8 years in, and a past diagnosis before I got onto the Daphne course, and it genuinely changed my life for the better. It brought a whole swathe of normality back into my life, and it removed a whole load of fear. I'm a keen bird watcher. I love to read, and I was absolutely paranoid about something happening to my eyes, so I was screwing my levels down. I spent ages hypo before Daphne, and then since Daphne, I still work very hard to stay in target, but I'm much more relaxed about things if I swing outside target. So I'd say don't be afraid of it. It's it was a bit, day one was daunting. I like somebody said earlier, I'd never talked to another type 1 diabetic about my diabetes. I've met a couple of people who I have known for a long time but didn't know that they were type 1 diabetics, and it's almost sometimes like it's a bit of a secret. And then suddenly there we are, eight of us talking about diabetes and how you manage it, and that still happens. As I say, every 2 or 3 months we get together, have lunch together, and talk about how things are going, and things have moved on. You know, we've all got flash monitoring now. Those in the group who wanted a pump now, I think, have got pumps. And yet it's still underpinned by those Daphne principles that we learned, you know, nearly 20 years ago. No, more than 20 years ago, almost 20 years. It's just been, it's almost unthinkingly becomes part of your everyday life.
Mm. And I think as a healthcare, as a Daphne educator, the biggest thing that I get such a kick out of it is just developing a different sort of friendly professional relationship with people with type 1, because Daphne is underpinned very strongly by a philosophy that believes that the person with diabetes is front and center of the decision-making process. So as an educator, it's not my role to tell anyone with type 1 diabetes what to do. The responsibility of an educator or a Daphne doctor is to give you relevant, up-to-date, evidence-based information for managing glucose with type 1 diabetes. And then once you've had all of the information, it's absolutely your diabetes to make a decision about. It's the way I describe it is, as an educator, I'm a bit like a driving instructor. So your driving instructor teaches you how to drive and pass your test so that you know all the right things to do. But they're not responsible when you get 3 points on your license for doing 34 in a 30. You know, we then all have free choice. But you can't make a free choice unless you've been given relevant evidence-based information to chew over, discuss with other people with type 1 diabetes, look at your glucose and make a decision about what suits you at that precise time, at that stage in your life, with whatever else is going on. So for me, it's getting a kick out of seeing people like Stu and the other people in his group who I'm lucky enough to join for lunch now that I'm not their DSN anymore, just to see how they thrive and stop feeling so guilty and, like Stu said, feel so much more relaxed. I think that's, yeah, so if anyone out there knows a DSN who's not sure about whether or not she should be a Daphne educator, he or she definitely should be, yes.
Wow, thank you so much, Liesl. Go on, Stu, sorry. Was that Stu that spoke then?
That was me, I said awesome.
Oh, brilliant stuff. I thought that was really, really good, Liesl and Stu, for having that sort of mini Q&A between you as a Daphne graduate of 20 years and still like connecting up with his peer support group. That's just absolutely amazing. And sharing the benefits of education and also peer support, really. So thank you so much. Liesl, before we have a little Q&A between me and you, I'm just wondering, I know I've put some slides up a little bit about Daphne. I'm just wondering if you wanted to, the next 5 minutes or so, just go through them with our community here.
Yeah, certainly can. And I think
go for it.
Stu can't stay for the rest of the meeting, I don't think. So thank you, Stu. If you have to leave before I finish, thank you very much indeed for coming along today. So for those of you that don't know, you've probably heard the name Daphne. And if you're in a Daphne centre, you may have had it thrown your way quite a lot and constantly been reminded of it. But it's actually a skills-based education course for adults with type 1 diabetes. And as I said earlier, it's underpinned completely by the Daphne philosophy, which puts you at the front and centre of the decision-making and the care process and the day-to-day management of your diabetes. The beauty of Daphne is that we audit outcomes. So if you come on a Daphne course, you'll be invited to a pre-course assessment where we take your HbA1c, we ask you about your time in range, we'll ask how often you have severe hypos, when you've last had DKA, we'll ask you lots of questions about your life with diabetes, and then we'll ask you to come back a year later and we'll ask you the same questions and we'll do an HbA1c again, we'll look at your time in range again. And what we see is consistently a drop in HbA1c of between 4 and 8 millimoles, which is quite significant. And we see a big drop in HbA1c, even with people who are already using something like a Libra. So the combination of the Libra and education for some people can get you a drop of about 10 or 11 millimoles altogether, which is massive. Because
I was going to say, that's an impressive amount.
Yeah. So when we did our remote Daphne pilot, we looked at the outcome data after a year. So we started the pilot in 2020. We reviewed the 1 year data for those Daphne graduates in 2021. And the overall drop in HbA1c was about 7.8. But if you were on flash monitoring, you got a drop of about 6.8. And if you were on finger pricking, then the drop was about 7.88 millimoles. So when you think that an 11 millimole drop in your HbA1c reduces long-term complications by 25%, that's just, I mean, that's a bit mind-blowing, isn't it, really? So I think because we can prove that it can reduce your HbA1c, it can reduce severe hypos, it can reduce DKA, but more crucially than that, we know that it improves quality of life. And who doesn't want that when you've got a chronic health condition? So I guess I would say if diabetes limits aspects of your life, if it creates anxiety that's difficult to manage, so if you're coming up to exams or you do shift work or you've stopped going running because you've been diagnosed with diabetes, you worry about spending time with your grandchildren in case you have a hypo, there's something in Daphne for everybody. It might not all be relevant to you, but there'll be something in there that will help you achieve something in your life that you've either stopped doing or you don't want to start doing because you think your diabetes will stop you. And so I
Lisa, can I just ask, without obviously going through the whole contents of the handbook, could you maybe just list some of the sort of topics that is sort of covered, if you don't mind?
Yeah, I think that obviously carbohydrate counting, because I think when I did my Daphne educator training, it was the first time I had ever understood the link between carbohydrate in our diet, blood glucose readings, and insulin doses. I'd never properly understood that until I became a Daphne educator. And if you know how to carb count, you can adjust your insulin for what you're going to eat. But on a Daphne course, you'll then also learn, okay, well, I'm going to eat 50 grams of carbohydrate. My ratio of insulin to carbohydrate is 2:1. So I need 10 units of insulin to that 50 grams of carbohydrate. But actually, I've been for a run today and it was longer than I thought, so I might go low later. So do I want to decrease that by any amount? I had a hypo last night that was quite serious, so do I want to decrease it? Do I need to increase it because I've got a high glucose? So it helps you pull all of those things together and make a decision about how much insulin to give for your mealtime or your snack. But it also looks at managing your glucose around exercise, the value of ketone testing, blood ketone testing when you're not well. So how to manage minor illness or severe illness to avoid you then developing diabetic ketoacidosis, so it can help keep you out of hospital. So
I do have a bit of a fun fact that I learned recently, actually. Apparently continuous like ketone monitoring is coming to Libra 3 soon. So says the grapevine anyway.
I saw that the other day and my heart leapt and I thought, oh my goodness, it's not that long ago when we were struggling to get blood ketone strips for people.
So I was going to say, that's awesome too. I mean, I'm not on Libra, I'm on Dexcom now, but still.
I know. I mean, when you think it's only 4 or 5 years ago when people still were struggling to get blood ketone testing strips, and some people, I wonder whether you still do, you'll have to tell me. But yeah, so we cover exercise, eating out, alcohol, sick day rules. We look at things like pregnancy, if it's relevant to the group, so pregnancy planning and pregnancy care with type 1. We look at employment restrictions if you've got type 1, but also we look at your annual review, what care you should expect. So we go through the Diabetes UK 15 checks that you should have every year. So we cover pretty much most things to do with type 1 diabetes in that 5 days or 5 week course.
I have a slight tangent for you, actually, if you're sort of comfortable sharing it. Like, what kind of percentage of the people you've spoken to have had some kind of like workplace discrimination, you know, because of diabetic?
I don't know whether I could give you a percentage. One of the things that we do have is a letter that your Daphne service can send to your employer, basically telling your employer how much more they're going to get out of you once you've done a Daphne course, and how giving you the time off to attend is going to be the most valuable thing they could possibly do for you and for their business. And so some people are afraid to ask because they anticipate they'll have problems. And so for those people, they may not be able to join. We had, where I was delivering Daphne, we had an enormous insurance company, and there always seemed to be somebody on our course from that company. So they obviously supported their staff extremely well. Some employers will offer, they'll say, yes, you can do it, you can take holiday, which isn't always great if you only get 4 weeks holiday a year. Other employers would say, take the time off as sick. Other employers gave people time as study leave. Some people a combination of study leave and holiday. So I think it's worth having that conversation with your employer because they might surprise you.
Good to hear.
And ask your service to give you the letter for your employer as well, because that, whenever I gave that out, it always had a positive outcome.
I can see David with his hand up if he's got a question, if that's all right, Liesl.
Ask away, that's why I'm here.
So I have a quick question. So going back when I done, or when education was a thing in my diabetes centre or my hospital, Daphne wasn't a thing. It was always called David because I'm in Wales, which is similar, but it's not as good as Daphne, I was told. My hospital now offers Daphne, but I'm on an insulin pump, not injections now. I was just wondering, would it be feasible now to possibly now try a Daphne course instead of David? Because David was great. Like I said earlier, it was okay. It wasn't the best education. I learned more stuff online. But I've heard Daphne is a lot better and is a lot more tailored and things like that. Would it be better now to try Daphne instead? Now my hospital offer Daphne, or would they not stick me on another course because I'm on an insulin pump, if that makes sense?
Yeah, that perfectly makes sense. I think the whole of Wales has gone over from David to Daphne now. It's the Wales has chosen that as their chosen Daphne as their education of choice for type 1. We do have a pump Daphne course as well. And that can be delivered face to face, or it can be delivered remotely. So you can do some online learning at home in your own time. We work very closely with the Open University to develop our online learning for participants. And if your centre has done pump Daphne training, then they can offer you pump Daphne as a course as well. And we're updating, we have updated the online version of that to include CGM, flash glucose monitoring, and also some information about closed loops on there. So ask your service about doing a pump Daphne course, because if they get demand for it, then they can train free of charge in it. They don't have to pay to do their pump Daphne training. And then they can offer you that as well.
Perfect, thank you.
Brilliant stuff, and that's what it's all about tonight, guys, isn't it? Having this opportunity to ask questions. Mark, I can see you, and I'm going to come to Kez because I know there's a few questions, and then we'll come back to you, Liesl, because I know you were halfway through your presentation before this awesome and spontaneous Q&A, which is just great, isn't it?
Sorry if I've missed something, because somebody might have else have asked this question, but one thing that's always scared me is going inpatient since I've had had my Daphne course, and even more now I'm on a pump, is because obviously doctors who are, and probably nurses who are used to non-diabetes, non-Daphne patients, are used to prescribing the medicine in some ways, whereas with Daphne, to a certain extent, does that make sense? The dose changes. Has there ever been any Daphne brought out for sort of like housemen and what have you, for doctors in? Because I know that a couple of people have talked about they gave their ratios when they went in on inpatients, and they were, and the nurses were expecting to just draw out what would be their ratio. Has there been any something like that put in to help with the inpatient? Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm busy nodding and then realised that you can't see me, so sorry about that. There's an enormous amount of work going on around the country separate from Daphne on policies and ways in which you can, if you're able to as an inpatient, you can still self-manage your diabetes. So they don't take control away from you with the we know better while you're ill philosophy. So there's a lot of work going on in centres all over the country to make sure that when you come into hospital, if you want to carry on managing your glucose, then you can.
I was going to say, I had to pretty much fight like several nurses, not physically, obviously, but to actually be able to do my own insulin, because they came around with a sheet that was basically set doses. And I'm like, they asked me to tell them what dose I'm on. I was like, I can't tell you what dose I'm on because I'm not really on any doses. It's completely random. It depends what I eat, what my sugars are. And none of them understood that. And that's happened the past three times I've been in hospital. One of them was recently as well.
I completely get how frustrating that is, and
it wasn't that but I had to fight to even sign something to say I could take my own medication. It was really weird. It was like I had to go through like I don't know what they call them, head doctor.
You might have to go through your consultant or the lead for your.
That's it. The lead. That's the word. I'd speak to the lead that was on that particular ward at the time to even get them to issue me the form to sign it, to say that I could do my own medication. Because I'm like, I can't give you a dose. Like, I might take 20 now or 10 now or 1 now. Like, I don't know when that's going to happen.
Yeah, and that has been an issue around the country for forever, I think, because when you come into hospital, you manage your diabetes 365 days a year, and then you come into contact with a healthcare professional occasionally in that time, and then they try and take that control away from you. And so I think it's always worth making sure that you just say to somebody, you do have a policy for self-administration of insulin for somebody with type 1. Can we please go through that, and can I please continue?
I wouldn't even mind if they came back, you know, with a different form to say, like, hey, you know, we want to know what you've taken so we can keep an eye on it. Like, if you want to do that, like, fair enough, but like, I can't give you what doses I take because it's random.
I'm talking as lethal now. It might be worth taking that up through your local hospital where you've been an inpatient, because we all value your input in improving our service. We have Daphne graduates who sit on the Daphne executive board, and they do vital work with us, really tangible work. And I think unless you're somebody who's used that service and found it difficult, then
to be fair, I was well looked after. Like, I just had to obviously fight to be able to do my injection. Yeah. They didn't even check on me after that. As long as I was okay and, you know, alive, they were fine, as long as I'd signed the form to say I could self-medicate. Yeah. But yeah, it was well good.
Yeah, and it might be worth saying that, get in touch and say, no, actually, it was okay. The only thing that I struggled with was I felt I had to fight to give my own insulin, and just have that conversation with somebody at the service and see if there's, because they may look at their policy and think, you know, this is a bit rigid. It maybe needs a bit more. I don't know, but maybe have that chat locally and see how you can progress that with them.
It might be worth a try next time I go in.
Yeah. Good luck.
So, Lisa, we've got some questions from the community. Are you okay for a few more questions? You can see a lot of people are really interested in our discussion tonight. And Kez, I'll bring you up because I know you're lining up the questions here.
The first question we had for you actually was from Yasmin, who asked, how easy is it to request to redo Daphne, as it's been 15 years, and they're essentially educating themselves a lot of the time?
That's a really good question. It really depends on how many Daphne courses your service is able to put on in a year. And that is directly related to the funding that your service is provided for education. So some centres are able to deliver over a dozen Daphne courses in a year, so they can get people through the courses really quickly. Other centres have funding for maybe two or three Daphne courses a year. So although they may want to put on loads and loads because they've got lots of people who want to do it, they're not able to because they're not funded for that. And so that's the difficulty, is making sure that the funding is available to put on as many Daphne courses that are needed. And because of that, some centres will offer refreshers because they've maybe worked through a lot of their type 1 population already, so they're able to offer a refresher, and others may not be able to do that yet because they've still got a massive waiting list of people who haven't done it once yet. So it's worth having a chat with your local Daphne Centre to find out what the situation is with them, and see, at least then you'll have an idea, yes, they can offer you a refresher, or no, they can't. But if you have done Daphne in the past, you can have access to the online participant learning that is available on the Open University site, and you can have access to that forever. So if you are not sure what to do about a new exercise regime that you've got at the gym, you can log on to the Open University Daphne site, and you can get the
details. Does that just use your credentials you get when you sign up to, or like when you go through Daphne, or do you have to sign up somewhere else separately?
So if you did Daphne face-to-face before the pandemic, you'd need to speak to your Daphne educator, and they can give you an enrolment key. So you set up an account with the Open University, which is free of charge, on the, and your Daphne Centre will give you all the information that you need to do that. You enter the enrolment key and you have all the Daphne participant learning available to you in your own home, in your own time, whenever you need to access
it. I got an enrolment key because I did the virtual course, but I wasn't aware that it was available sort of after you'd done the course.
You should still have access to it now.
Ah, awesome. I didn't know that. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. Each time there's an update, we do let the centres know when we've updated the online course, at least once since we wrote it in 2020. At least once that's been updated. So if the enrolment keys change and you find that you can't access it, just contact your local Daphne Centre and they can just give you the new enrolment key over the phone.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Good.
Can I just interrupt? How do you find where or whatever your local Daphne Centre is?
If you go onto our website, which is www.daphne.nhs.uk, and you go to the home page, there's something there that says, do you have type 1 diabetes? You click on that. It says, how do I access a course? And then there's a map with all the Daphne centres on it in the UK, Ireland and Crown Dependencies.
OK, thank you.
Good luck.
Let's bring Kez back in.
Yeah, I think that's kind of answered the next one, but Tia's asked, if you've done the remote Daphne course online, is it possible to get a physical version of the handbook? And they said they completed it last year and it was fantastic.
Thank you very much. I'll pay them later. So there isn't a physical version of the handbook for the remote online learning because that's available all the time. So they can still access it through their tablets, their laptops, their PCs, their mobile phones. So that isn't available as a handbook. But for people doing face-to-face Daphne courses, we're currently updating and have just updated all the face-to-face resources for people. So to include the CGM data, the flash glucose monitoring. So there are hard copy new resources now available for people doing face-to-face Daphne. And you could always have a chat with your local Daphne Centre and see if they would be happy to let you have one of those. If that's helpful.
Absolutely. Okay. If anyone else has any other questions, you can also hashtag diabetes chat or request a microphone. Di, I can see you, mate. Go for it.
Hi, sorry, another quick question. So if you've done another type of educational course and now your hospital specializes or is a Daphne center, can you request to do another educational course and do Daphne, or do you, once you've done it once, you can't do anything else other than that course that you've done?
I think in Wales I'm not sure, but I don't think centers are offering Davis anymore because they've all moved over to Daphne. I might be wrong, so don't quote me on that. But certainly, if you feel that you need to do a Daphne course, that's a discussion to have with your local Daphne Centre. If you feel that you need a refresher, ask them. And if they've got funding for courses and they've got places available, then by all means, come and do the Daphne course.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay.
I have another question that's come through DMs. I think And we had a discussion earlier on a diabetes chat about when people think education should be. Like for me, I was diagnosed 17 years ago, and it wasn't till I was diagnosed 2006, and it wasn't until 2020 I got on Daphne, so a long, long time. And I put the question tonight to see when people should feel that they should get their education. I wasn't aware Parfa made it clear tonight to say that NICE guidance says it should be after 6 months or recommended. And I think sometimes people may get a bit overwhelmed with like maybe too much information sometimes. So the questions that's come through is, what would you say, Liesl, to those who are maybe a bit doubtful about doing Daphne or a bit overwhelmed and just don't know how or what they'll get out of the experience? And have maybe said, oh, it's not for me. What sort of viewpoint would you give to them from a Daphne stand or and your stand as Liesl?
So NICE recommends that you shouldn't really do Daphne until you've had type 1 diabetes for six months or you've gone through the honeymoon phase. So I'm not sure if many of you have heard that term before. So the honeymoon phase is not something everybody has, but a significant number of people are extremely sensitive to insulin at diagnosis and for several months, maybe a year, even sometimes longer than that, going to start matching insulin to carbohydrate, you may end up having quite frequent hypoglycemia because you wouldn't need the amount of insulin that was being recommended. And so from a safety point of view, you may not need very large doses. I've looked after people who were on maybe 2 units of background insulin at night and in the morning and a couple of units with each meal. So, you know, if you're going to have a massive meal with lots of carbohydrate in it and you only need 2 units of insulin, then following Daphne's guidelines, you'd end up taking far too much. But equally, I've had people who have come on a Daphne course within a year of diagnosis, and that's really great because they've just learnt as part of their pathway of care. You know, they're diagnosed. Once you're through your honeymoon, you'll come on a Daphne course and you'll just learn about the myriad things that you need to know about. So they have a long time, a few months maybe, to get used to the idea. But equally, the oldest person I had on a Daphne course was 82 years old and he'd had diabetes for about 50 years. I had somebody else on the course who'd had diabetes for 62 years. And she said to me, at the end of the first day, she said, I only came on the course to prove to you that I knew what I was doing, but I've only done one day and I've already learned so much that I didn't know that actually I'm looking forward to the rest of it now. So I've only met one person who said they didn't get anything out of it at all. The feedback we've had from our participants on a Daphne course has been just overwhelming at times. My colleague Liz and I used to sit on a Friday afternoon and go through the feedback forms that our groups had filled in for us, and we would read them out to each other, and quite often we would be choked up and unable to actually read them out. So some of the things that we heard was, if I win the lottery, you can have every penny because everybody with type 1 should get the chance to do this course. Somebody else said, by the end of day one, my husband said he'd already got back the person he married, not the person he got when I was diagnosed. I think there's something in there for everybody. Not all of it will be for you. But group education is not for everybody. And Daphne is not the only way to educate ourselves. And remember, when I started in 2005, it was pre-huge internet access. You know, not everybody had a computer. We didn't have smartphones. We didn't have iPads. We didn't have information at our fingertips. We had to go to the library or ask our healthcare professionals, or it just wasn't that easily available. Now there's so much out there and there's so many other options to get your education. However, with Daphne, you get peer support. You get trained healthcare professionals who have to continuously update and revalidate to keep their competency levels up with Daphne to make sure they can continue to deliver. So you're getting a real gold standard education with Daphne. But if group education isn't for you, then that's fine. It's absolutely your choice how you access your education.
Amazing. What an answer. Very powerful answer. It's your choice, guys. And I think a lot of people will recommend it, and you can see some of the quotes that Liesl mentioned there on one of the posts that we put up this evening, and there's some very powerful messages there. Flipper, I can see your hands up.
Yeah, I was wondering from Liesl. I don't believe it's available at the moment, so I know I'll preface my question with that. There must be people like me who've done Daphne. I think I still, like a lot of people, live by Daphne principles adapted to my life, which is great. But I know what's taught has been changed. So I did Daphne in 2012, which was like 17 years after I was diagnosed. And it was amazing, life-changing. I would be one of those people just enthusing about it. But I know recommendations and things have changed through talking to other people. Have Daphne ever considered just doing an update course? So it's not like I want to go over carb counting or things again, but I know the
that sounds like the refresher course she mentioned earlier
of change. And is there anything that could just be, I don't know how long it would take, an afternoon or whatever, just as an update rather than needing the course again?
I think that's a really interesting point. It's not something that we have designed ourselves, but it's certainly an interesting point and something that maybe we might want to consider in the future. I think we're quite a small team in Daphne, and I think people don't realize that. So there's myself and my manager Sally Walgar, who are national Daphne trainers, and we are full-time, each of us. So Sally's background is as a diabetes specialist dietitian, mine is as a diabetes specialist nurse, and we have Sue, who also works with us delivering training, and we write the Daphne courses for people with type 1 diabetes. We develop the training courses for healthcare professionals, and we deliver that training as well. So there's a very small core team, but we have unrivaled support from our administrative team. They are superb. And without them, we wouldn't be able to get through what we get through. I think a refresher course sounds really interesting, but I would say, because you did it pre-remote, Daphne, is ask your centre for access to the online learning. And then you can go in, and if you want updates on exercise, you can just go to the exercise section and get your updates from there, and then have a chat in a one-to-one appointment or an online appointment with your DSN or your Daphne educator. That would probably be the best way to do it, because you could do it from home in your own time.
Yeah, no, it's just that it was just that there's a few of us, and when we were discussing this online before, who've done it like a decade ago or something.
Yeah.
And don't need to relearn it, but we know things have changed.
Some centres do offer refreshers, but it's a very individual thing depending on the centre and depending on their funding and also their staffing levels. So some centres are really struggling post-COVID with short numbers of specialist staff. So find out what your centre offers, if anything, because some of them do. I know there are some centres who will they'll hire a village hall for an afternoon, and they'll invite people to come along, and they'll do little workshops on sick day rules or exercise or hypo treatment or something. And you can go to the workshops that you need to know about or that you want to know about. So just find out what your local service does offer in terms of a refresher. And if they don't offer anything at the moment, get hold of the online code so that you can at least have a look at that and have a conversation with somebody.
And I know you sort of touched on it before, but I'll just put my two pennies in again. I think one of the things that I push is that even if somebody thinks, I think the worst that can happen to somebody going to Daphne is it proves you know what you're doing. And the best is you're going to learn loads, which I think most people do. But the other thing is you get a really good relationship with a DSN and a dietitian, who they know you and you know them. And that made such a big difference to me post Daphne.
I would echo that 1,000 times a day. I think one thing that I'm privileged as a Daphne educator, when I was a Daphne educator, it's such a privilege to share 5 whole days with people face to face who live with type 1 diabetes all the time. And I have learned so much from you with type 1 diabetes that it's just, I would never have learned that out of a book or sitting in a classroom. And there's a level of trust that develops most often between participants and their Daphne educators, which is not always easy to get when you're rushing in for a half an hour appointment three times a year. It's a real privilege as a healthcare professional to be able to develop that relationship with you guys. And Stu was on my course in 2007 with his group, and they invite me to lunch now because I'm not their DSN anymore. So that's just brilliant.
Yeah. No.
Kez, I know you've got a question for Liesl and Daphne as well. Kez, are you there?
Yeah, you totally caught me off guard. Sorry. I was like, if they were throwing me in there. I just wondered how like other people can get more involved either with Daphne as an educator or as a supporter.
So we do have educators who sit on our Daphne executive board, and they feed in an enormous amount of information to us, and they question us over things that we're doing. Some of them contribute to our training, and some of them have contributed to our podcast. I don't know if you've ever heard the podcast with Jenny that we did last year. So Jenny has obviously got type 1 diabetes. She's done a Daphne course, and she did a podcast with me last year all about how Daphne helped her get the life that she wanted. So she's now a mum to two gorgeous children, and that's what she wanted, and that's what Daphne helped her to achieve. And so we'll often put out requests to Daphne centres and say, have you got any Daphne graduates who'd like to get involved in doing a podcast or something like that? So let your centre know that you're keen to get involved. Stu used to support me in recruitment evenings. So there was Stu and a couple of other people that used to come along one evening every few months, and we would invite lots of people with type 1 to come to an information evening. And most of that time, it was just the people we'd invited asking Stu and the other graduates there about Daphne and why do they really need to go. And Stu and his friends would actually explain what they got out of it and why they would encourage people to go, because it's so much better hearing from somebody else with type 1 rather than a healthcare professional like me saying, well, I think you should go, I think it will be good for you. No, that's not what you want to hear. You want to hear what you're going to get out of it and how it's going to help you. And so that's a really good way that you as a Daphne graduate can really feed back into your local community. Is that helpful?
I think so.
Yeah, sorry. It is really useful. I suppose I've got some questions that maybe I'll post separately, because it's specific to my area, which isn't covered by Daphne, ironically.
I would start up your own petition.
So, Lisa, I wanted to ask a few more questions as well from my end. So what's the point of attending Daphne Education when people with type 1 in the UK already have access to CGMs, Libre, closed loop around the corner? And we spoke offline and we've devised some of these questions together. So it'd be interesting to hear your response to that and sharing it with the community.
Yeah, I noticed somebody put a tweet on. I can't remember who it was, but somebody answered one of the questions and said they thought technology was the most important thing until they did Daphne. And then they realized that actually one without the other is okay, but put the two together and that's fantastic. Yeah. If your technology goes wrong, you need to know how to manage your diabetes. And if you can get more time in range with technology, but you could get even more time in range with education, then that's what we're here for. We're here to help you achieve as much as possible what you want to achieve. So even though there's all the tech out there, and let's face it, wouldn't we all love anybody who wants a closed loop to have one? Wouldn't that just be fantastic? But that you can't just plug it in and go and not think about having diabetes anymore. So that's why we've incorporated closed loop into our Daphne pump course, so that there's information in there as well, practical information on how to manage your glucose around a closed loop as well as just an insulin pump.
My reply to that, by the way, is not yet.
Sorry,
one day it might happen.
Yeah. Oh, fingers crossed.
Fantastic stuff. If anyone else has any questions, hashtag diabetes chat. You can also request a mic and come join the panel. David, I'm coming to you, and then we will head back to Tony, who will go through some of the poll discussions for the next maybe 10 minutes or so with you, Liesl, to highlight a few more discussions. Over to you, David.
So quick question. With the Pump Daphne course, what does that entail exactly? So like you said earlier, you broke down Daphne earlier. What's the pump one? Is it similar to that, or is it more advanced, if that makes sense?
Thanks, David. That's a useful question. It is more advanced. So obviously there's information about carbohydrate counting and a pump, because some of the information for carb counting with a pump might be different from somebody who's using multiple dose insulin injections. So it's more, the carbohydrate counting is tailored very much to pump users rather than just general type 1 diabetes. But also the advice around hypotreatment is slightly different. The exercise advice is different. You can manage eating out in a different way with a pump. Alcohol, you can manage differently with a pump. So it really is very specific to pumps rather than multiple dose injections. Multiple daily injections, sorry. I always get that one wrong. I should think I'd know better after being in diabetes for so long. So it is... It follows a similar format in that you have sessions on carb counting, you have sessions on insulin, but it focuses a great deal on how to assess your basal rates, how to assess your ratios, thinking about corrections, how your CGM links in with your pump. All of that kind of stuff is wrapped up within the remote Pump Daphne course and the face-to-face Pump Daphne course, which we're just currently bringing up to speed with the online stuff to launch later on in the year. Is that okay?
Definitely, yeah. Thank you. It's just because I'm on a hybrid pump. I've been on it for 4 years now. So would be interesting to just do a Pump Daphne to see what I could learn from that, what I don't already know, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think it's like somebody earlier said, the worst that can happen if you go on a Pump Daphne course is that you realise that you're doing it all okay anyway. But if you get something else out of, which is reassuring, isn't it? And confidence building. But if you learn a different way of doing something that you feel more comfortable with, then that's a plus as well.
Because the worst thing with me being on a pump is if my pump fails, I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, I got insulin in the fridge to do injections, but I don't know what I'm going to do with those injections because I can't remember when I last did an injection.
And so on a Pump Daphne course, you go through a whole section on what to do if you have a pump failure and you have to go back on injections. So that's covered in there as well.
That's great, isn't it?
And sick day rules and everything else, yeah.
Brilliant stuff. Tony, head back to you, my friend. And for the next 5-10 minutes or so, I know you and Liesl are just going to have a little chat about some of the polls that we've been doing this week and maybe bring in some of the community views, if that's all right, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you follow the Diabetes Chat Twitter account, which I'm sure you all do, it's diabetes_chat, you'll see that Tom and the team occasionally post some polls on there for some participation from the community on different things. There's been a number over the last, going back a month, about Daphne. And the first one we've got here was quite a simple one. Have you attended a Daphne course? And the majority of voters, 62% of people on this poll, said yes. 27% said no, and about 10% said they were interested in attending. That is quite interesting that such a large majority of people have. So we'll have a look at some of the comments here. Okay, so we've got Nick here saying it was useful to an extent. mostly because they connect with other type ones, which that peer support thing, it seems to be coming up quite a lot. People really enjoy Daphne because they get to meet other people with type one occasionally for the first time ever in the wild. It was good to take time out to focus my diabetes, and I think the course has been modified since they did it back in 2016. Could you maybe speak to that, Liesl? How much has really changed since 2016?
Yeah, I think before I move on to that, I think peer support in Daphne, we don't really know what the key ingredient is that makes Daphne graduates so successful with managing their diabetes after a course. We don't know whether it's the Daphne principles for insulin dose adjustment or carbohydrate counting, whether it's the amazing educators that we have, or whether it's simply the peer support, talking to other people with type 1 diabetes. And a large part of Daphne is learning from your peers, learning what they do differently that worked for them that might give you the confidence to try it yourself. So that's a massive part of Daphne. So I think it's what the golden thread is. I don't know. I think it's all of it linked together. So just thinking that that's been a peer support opportunity for the last 22 years since Daphne was launched in the UK. I think the way it's changed since 2016, the main change is that we've broadened from just face-to-face offerings. We had to very, very quickly and nimbly change to online offerings that people can do from their own homes. So I think every centre has now trained in remote Daphne, and many, many of those centres are offering you the option. You can either do a face-to-face Daphne course now that those are beginning to get ramped up again after COVID. If that doesn't suit because you can't get 5 days in a row off work, or you haven't got childcare for a whole week, then you might choose to do the remote Daphne course. So you do online learning at home in your own time, and you have a call on Microsoft Teams or Zoom or something with a small group of participants and a Daphne educator once a week for about three and a half hours. And that's much more accessible for a lot of people. So that's the main change. We've also included lots of information about CGM, Libra, and how that reflects back on your glucose diaries and the decisions that you might make. We've updated the exercise guidelines, so they now reflect the XDOD guidelines, which are a much more detailed way of managing glucose with exercise. There are other things like eating out and ratios of insulin to carbohydrate that are really very, very similar and haven't particularly changed a great deal in Daphne's lifetime, because if it works, don't break it, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And they work very well. So I'd say the online offering is the newest, is the main change, and incorporating CGM and flash glucose and also closed loops in Pump Daphne. Those would be the main changes, I think. I think from a healthcare professional point of view, the biggest changes is that all our healthcare professional training is now done online. And it's free of charge. So I think we've trained 300 Daphne doctors in 2 years, which is massive. We would never have got anywhere close to that by sticking with face-to-face training. So it's free of charge for the services who need it. And we've also got an offering out for people who are not Daphne trained. So I think somebody was mentioning earlier on, is there any learning for people who are not going to be delivering Daphne, but are going to look after you in hospital? So there's online learning available in insulin dose adjustment and carbohydrate counting for any healthcare professionals within a Daphne service who want to educate themselves on what the Daphne principles are. So, yeah, that's, I'll stop talking now.
You know, I actually think that's really reassuring, actually, that especially it's something we chat about a lot, is how fast moving technology and care for type 1 diabetes is. So it's actually really reassuring to hear how much has changed, and then, you know, with the importance of like flexibility, not just with work but with loads of different things, having the option to do it online as well just makes it more accessible for more people. So I think that's great.
Thank you. I know it's, when we first launched remote Daphne, of course none of us had ever worked with Microsoft Teams or Zoom, and I think COVID perhaps pulled us into the 21st century quite a few years quicker than we might otherwise have been as a health service. And I know there was a bit of trepidation and people would say, well, what if somebody hasn't got an iPad or a laptop? What if somebody hasn't got Wi-Fi? And you say, well, absolutely, not everybody is going to be able to access it. But equally so, not everybody can access a face-to-face course. So if you can offer both, you can reach more people and give more people the option. And surely that's what we're trying to do here.
Absolutely. No, that's excellent. The next question that was asked to the community, this one was posted on Diabetes Chat Twitter yesterday, was asking the community if they'd ever attended Daphne before and when that was, and a couple of follow-up questions like what they found most helpful, if there was anything that they could say to make it better, and what their take home was. And the very first comment actually was from someone who said they just finished online. That was from Craig. They just finished Daphne online last week. They said the course was fantastic, so much practical and useful information. I felt the online format over 6 weeks took away a little of the peer support aspect that exists during the in-person, which I think that's sort of to be expected. You know, that there are sort of like benefits and trade-offs to both.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that was one of our concerns was, would the groups gel as well online as they do when they're face-to-face? Because you don't get those water cooler moments, I think they call them in the States, where you chat over the water cooler or you chat together over a coffee break. So what some educators do is when they have a coffee break on a remote Daphne course, the educator says, right, well, I'm going to leave the call for 20 minutes. Go and grab your coffee and then just come back onto this Zoom call and you all have a chat without me for another 10 or 15 minutes, so that it's not always in the company of an educator, so they can have that relaxed downtime just to get to know each other a bit better. When we did the pilot for remote Daphne, the feedback we got from the graduates was indistinguishable from the feedback we would get from a face-to-face course. Things like, great to talk to other people with type 1 diabetes, I've never done that before. Great to have it spread out over several weeks so I could consolidate what I was learning each week. And if I'd put the feedback side by side, I wouldn't have been able to tell you whether one was remote or one was a face-to-face Daphne course. So it's a bit like when we launched 5x1 Daphne in 2011. So instead of doing it Monday to Friday, you could do it one day a week over 5 weeks. And I was involved in the pilot for that. And those that did the 1 week course all in one go said, can't believe that anyone would want to do it any other way. This has got to be the best way. The people who did one day a week over 5 weeks said, I can't believe anyone would want to do it any differently. This has got to be the best way to do it. So I think however you access your education, if you get a lot out of it, you'll think you did it the right way.
It's often I love that. It's options. It's great to have options and choices, and what one way works for someone, it may be different to someone else. And you get out of it different things. So yeah, I love how there's accessibility options for people to get involved and have that education.
Yeah. It's been fast paced the last 3 years, that's for sure. Very tight deadlines, working very closely with the Open University. They have been amazing and really supportive. So yeah, it's been a real hard push to do things that are now established and provide choice and access to many more people than it did pre-pandemic. So yeah.
Now, just check before we move on, because I don't want to take away all of your evening, Liesl, and just check, Thomas. We've still got a few more polls, and there's loads and loads of comments from the community as well, which is amazing. Lots of chat going on there. Would we like to perhaps maybe do a quick whistle stop on the last couple of polls, and then maybe we can join that into the open forum?
Absolutely. I think sort of like a summary highlight of the sort of overview from the community would be good, mate. And then, yeah, we'll finish up our guest speaker chat for sure. Lisa will go there, have a break.
Well, you've probably realised I can talk about Daphne and diabetes till the cows come home, so you will probably have to tell me when to go rather than me trying to get
home. Put you in a room. Put you in a room with a room of diabetics, and we'll be here for hours.
I was
going
to say, has she ever listened to Diabetes Chat before? This is literally standard procedure.
No, I have listened before, and then my phone battery ran out, and I was gutted because I couldn't find my charger.
Yep, that's how it goes. My phone is on charge right now, because if it wasn't, it'd be very much dead.
Yeah, so's mine.
Yeah, we love a good chat. That's send the name. We love a really good chat. Okay, so I move on and quickly whistle stop through the next couple of polls. So the next poll was, what's the most important aspect of your diabetes self-care? And the options were diabetes technology, diabetes education, healthcare professional contact, and support from the community. And again, it was a real front runner with 2/3 of people choosing technology. But then next was education with about 20%, support from the community with 12%, and then the distant last is unfortunately healthcare professional contact, which might not be a huge surprise. I can't remember the statistic, but I'm sure somebody in the chat will. But how 2%. Much of the time? What was that?
2%.
Of your time is with healthcare.
It says 3.1% value their healthcare professional contact the most.
There you go.
That's a sobering thought. Maybe I should go now. I'm not sure.
Yes, but I think as well, it's also, you know, I feel like type 1 diabetes is quite an insular thing a lot of the time. And sort of, it is self-care. I mean, that is in the question a lot of the time. So you spend so little of your time with your healthcare professionals. So it doesn't come as a huge surprise. That's not to say that healthcare professionals aren't important, but it's not a huge surprise that that's where it is. And the first comment on this one is from our very own Kez, who's sort of spoken their thoughts to this in this very chat, saying that they think they would say that education is the most important because without education, the technology is redundant in their opinion. And the whole community thing being underpinned by peer support and community as well. So I'm sure that's quite a common opinion.
Yes, absolutely. And I think when I started out as a Daphne educator, there was no WhatsApp, there was no Facebook, there was no nothing. And so peer support was literally face to face. And I think one of the biggest things outside of health education is the explosion of social media opportunities for peer support. And on Twitter and on Facebook, I follow quietly and in the background a lot of people with type 1 diabetes. And I am in awe of how the type 1 community steps up to support each other. And I think as healthcare professionals, we need to take that on board. I know that Parthakar launched the Language Matters initiative, didn't he, in 2018, which is just huge. And when you see the language that people use with type 1, when you guys are talking to each other online or in your chats, the way you support each other and the language that you use is something that all healthcare professionals, whatever health condition they are specialised in, need to take on board. And I'm proud that Daphne has had this Language Matters approach since its inception in the year 2000. It's about open questions, not telling you what to do, asking what you feel comfortable with, making sure that you feel confident, doing everything we can to help you with that. So I think with Language Matters and Daphne working together within type 1 diabetes, I'm hoping that we can work towards reflecting the language that you use with each other. I mean, I am genuinely in awe of the support that has just sprung up on social media within the community of people with type 1. And having a niece who's got type 1, knowing that support is out there, it makes me emotional, to be honest. It's amazing.
And it's funny you say that about the Language Matters, because last week's Diabetes Chat Thursday thread from James was actually about the importance of diabetes related language. So absolutely, it is a credit to the community online. just sort of how we sort of communicate with each other.
And I think that's one thing as a Daphne educator. I don't think I've ever told anyone on a Daphne course what to do. And that's how we should be supporting you, not telling you what to do, but asking you what you feel comfortable with, helping you get options from other people on your Daphne course rather than us just giving you options. It's so much broader than just a healthcare professional telling you what to do. And
I was actually going to say it's not just children. I've noticed in adults quite a lot, if you tell them what to do, there's a good chance they're going to go and do the opposite anyway.
Yeah. in all aspects of life, not just healthcare. Yeah.
Excellent. So I think we'll just round it up there. The polls are available on the Diabetes Chat Twitter page. I will retweet the polls, the three main polls there, so that you can easily access them and read all the amazing comments from the community there. But what an amazing chat that it has been. Thank you so much for your time. And I'm sure this has been really important and enlightening for a lot of the community.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. I hope it's helped. And I hope that I've shared with you some of the passion and enthusiasm that the whole Daphne team has for supporting you guys with type 1. So thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much, Liesl, for tonight. It's been really, really top class.
For anyone listening on YouTube and Twitch, I've just stuck the link to the Daphne NHS website, so you can visit if you like.
Thank you very much indeed. Am I allowed to stay on and listen to your chat, or do I have to go?
No, you can stay on as much as you want until your battery dies.
So I'll just sit and listen to your chatter, because I will learn so much from your chatter. But thank you very much indeed. It's been amazing.
And this is what it's all about, isn't it? Is working together in partnership. The people who have diabetes, or parents, carers who have children, or other people in their family who have diabetes, and having the opportunity to speak with healthcare professionals and organisations like yourselves to talk and discuss and share visions together and shape the future. And I think everything tonight has been really, really fascinating. Lots of community engagement and involvement. And it's been really lovely to just listen to all the Q&As. Going on. So honestly, Liesl, thank you for coming on representing Daphne today. Could you just finish before you go? How can people maybe find out a little bit more about Daphne? Where can they follow you on social medias and head to the website and all that jazz? Yep. How can people find out more?
So we've got a Facebook page, and so if you just put Daphne UK into Facebook, you should find our Daphne page. And we're also on Twitter as @DaphneUK. So we're around. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us on Facebook. Just come along and join us and follow us. And if you've got any queries or not, you can post them onto our Twitter feed. You can post them onto our Facebook page, and we'll come back to you. Or you can contact us through the website.
That's absolutely
just drop your follow. I can't believe I wasn't following you before here.
There you go.
Well, I think they'll be hoping that our followers go up, at least by the number of people on the call this evening after tonight. So let's see how we get on.
Fantastic stuff. It's been really, really cool, very informative, and it's been great just to connect Daphne with our diabetes chat community tonight. And I'm sure we'll be hopefully working together in the future with other sort of chats and events and things like that. So, yeah, thank you so much, Daphne, for your time tonight.
Thank you very much indeed. Ask me anytime. Cheers, guys. Bye-bye.